The drive to go further and reach higher. The same thing that inspires you inspires us. At Strayer University, we're always searching for new ways to make education more affordable. That's why we offer access to up to 10 no-cost gen ed courses to help you save time and money so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. No-cost gen eds provided by Strayer University affiliates of Fuel Learning. Eligibility rules apply. Connect with us for details. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
This episode is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIP members. Thank you for your support of Major Spoilers and the Major Spoilers Podcast Network. If you would like to become a bronze, silver, or gold VIP member, go to members.majorspoilers.com for more information.
Welcome to Critical Hit, a Major Spoilers podcast. Thank you so much for downloading and listening and sharing this with a friend. And again, we hope you enjoyed the adventures in Modern City, the Modern City tales that we've been telling you these last couple of weeks. What do you guys, I mean, three of you have played Fate before, but you said
very brief intervals.
Well, that's what I was going to say. This is kind of the longest Fate game you guys have played.
Oh, by far.
Yes.
And what did you end up thinking about it, Rob?
I'm not entirely certain I'm sold on Fate as an ongoing campaign system.
How come?
Mostly because probably a lot of it comes from the fact that I'm used to D&D and World of Darkness. It's just games where you're gaining, like, you have physical character, mechanical character development throughout the game.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I brought up before is about leveling up, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
That's what you're concerned about?
That's part of it. The other part of it is it's... I feel like some of it can get... While it's all description, I feel like some of it can get... And this might just be the fact that my character was kind of limited in scope. Combat could get stale, where it's just like...
Because he was Batman?
Yeah, because he wasn't even really Batman.
Yeah, you're right.
Like he was Batman. At least had gadgets.
Yeah.
Like you were closer to the Batman than I was.
Yeah, true.
I was just the dark side of Batman.
Yeah. Do you agree with that? Do you agree with that, Rodrigo? That it doesn't appear that Fate is like suited for longer campaigns or an ongoing campaign?
No, I don't think so. I think that mechanical advancement is kind of an illusion, especially the way that games, D20 games, do it.
Mm-hmm.
So you have something like D&D where you get a +1 at every other level or every 3 levels or whatever, but sort of the monsters. What you do end up getting is more stuff that your character can do.
Right.
Which you can also get in Fate.
Yeah, because you can move beyond just your 3 stunts, right?
Yes.
As soon as you go up a certain level, you can add a 4th and a 5th. And well, what's the maximum
you
number?
Basically, you have to have one refresh.
Okay.
So you can, right now, trade in up to 2 of your refresh that you start with for an additional stunt.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, get up to 5 stunts with one refresh.
Mm-hmm.
Then as soon as you get more refresh, which is one way that they do improve characters, you can, if you want to, trade that in for another stunt right there.
Yeah, so there is a way to do that, Rodrigo. Yeah,
sure. So you've got that, and you know, as far as telling and as far as combat getting stale, that is a function both of the way that combat is set up and the way that the players see their characters and use their characters. Part of it, you know, a character like Free Agent might not have that many things he can do, Whereas a character like Jetstar might have 1,000 things he can mm-hmm. do, just because car plus ghost plus guy that punches things is,
pretty broad. Yeah.
Already has car and ghost right. over yes. guy right. who punches things.
Right.
But yeah. that said, it really depends on how you approach it. There are, you know, if you look at a movie like The Bourne Identity, that's mm-hmm. just the guy who punches things.
Right.
So it's partially on you as a player to come up with description that is interesting. What are they called? Effects that you can put on yourself and put on other people through your whatever techniques you decide your character has or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can have, you can probably have a pretty satisfying character who isn't magic or whatever.
Right.
As long as you look at the right inspirations, ahead of time mm-hmm. and kind of say like, well, I want my character, how do I want my character to fight? What does he fight like?
Right.
How does my character take a punch? Does he take a punch? Can he take a punch? That mm-hmm. kind of thing.
But did you enjoy having an extended campaign, Rob? Was it a mean, because you said you've played a bunch of little short ones.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I wasn't entirely sold on it. And for the most part, I think it's part of just the fact that my character was so limited in scope.
Right.
Most of my combat ended up being, I'm a punch a guy forcefully.
Yeah. Well, and I think that is one thing that I think is interesting about Fate is how you use those five
approaches.
Yeah, those five approaches, because you can, you know, it's with Dungeons and Dragons or with other systems where you have, this is my power and that power is only effective once, or it may be an at will. I mean, at wills are like, you know, even a little bit different, but you run the risk of using forceful all the time or trying to figure out how to use quick or clever, you know, again and again and again. To make the attack. And I think that is maybe a little bit of a disadvantage because it doesn't encourage you to use your other skills.
I will say,
but I think that's kind of the DM's.
It is. In this game, I don't know that we ever actually did any non-combat roles.
Right.
That's true.
Right.
Not too many. There was a couple, but.
Yeah. So, for example, you know that time when we were sneaking onto that Derek?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
That would have been a great time to roll sneaky.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. That time when you were trying to pinpoint that signal, it would have been a great time to roll clever or whatever. And partially, I'm just throwing that out as a. As a game master, I wouldn't necessarily have used those specific things because those were moments when the plot needed to advance.
Yes.
So I wouldn't have required a role there either.
Right.
But what I'm saying is there wasn't a lot of setup for other things
mm-hmm.
to be used. For example, like here's an example of something that we could have done.
Mm-hmm.
If we were continuing from here, like Brian could basically say, well, there's the modern man and he like has like the super robot modern man. Has like all of these crazy powers and there's just way too many robots. It's obvious that you guys are going to die if you're here.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to have an escape from the thing scene.
Right.
And then, although forceful will still probably be useful, there's going to be a lot of other skills that are going to
like
be more
quick
useful.
Quick and clever would be
exactly,
a lot more
exactly.
clever. Yeah. Useful. Yeah, you're right.
And for me, that's actually kind of a plus, is that if I use, say, my flashy, which I lean really hard on, if I use my flashy four times in a combat round, it's kind of forcing me as the creative person to make that something different, to make that flashy into something that isn't exactly the same thing every time. Or if you're the kind of person who wants to do that, obviously consistency is good too. But for me, it gave me that point where how am I going to do this without, on my own terms, feeling like I'm not cheating and going, I'm going to flashy again. I wanted to make it different. So if I needed to be clever, wanted to be super clever.
And the other thing is that, you know, and Brian did it. There are times when you're like, I like yell really loudly and punch a guy. And it's like, well, that's still forceful.
So
roll your lower stat. And the game does kind of lead you to that. And again, more non-combat situations where, I mean, PDK sneaky is zero. Like, if we were sneaking somewhere, there, like, if we were, like, on our tiptoes trying to get someplace, there's almost nothing that he could do other than maybe, like, try to do something clever. Mm-hmm. But even then, it would be difficult depending on the situation. And that's the thing with narrative games, mm-hmm. is that there's a lot more pressure on the game master and the players to a certain degree to have those tags already in the room and already in the situation.
Right.
You have to have a lot of description so that the players can be like, oh, okay, well, I do this or that. Is like, well, so you're out in a market. Is like, if you don't mention that there are awnings, mm-hmm. like, it's fine, but the moment you mention that there are awnings, suddenly there is something for free agent to do, right?
Right. So, Rob, have you ever GM'd a Fate game?
Yeah.
And
a couple?
Yeah.
I was in one, I think.
That you played in? Yeah. So did you, does this seem very easy for new people who are into the Fate system to pick up as a GM, do you think, from your experience?
Yeah. Obviously, the GM wants to read the book beforehand.
Right.
Which is something I probably should have done more of. But, yeah, no, Fate is actually a really good introductory GM system because it's very forgiving of not having everything.
Oh, yeah. As providing, Brian, that you can improvise on the spot when suddenly... Wow. Hey, there's a pipe over here, and I'm going to rip it off the wall.
Specifically because of the system and the way that the system works, it allows the game master to put stuff on the players. I mean, actually, we played a game that Rob ran, and it was like a space game. And Rob was like, okay, there's this, you're in this ship corridor. It's like, there's like this thing, and also one other aspect that you guys get to decide right now. And I think we went to, like, easily accessible consoles or something like that.
So, Brian, from the GM side, was it difficult? I mean, again, because you had to plan things out for weeks and weeks and weeks in multiple sessions, was it as easy planning a Fate game as it was doing, a Dungeons & Dragons session campaign?
I mean, I'm not the most experienced dungeon master or game master. I would say it's probably a good trade-off. I feel like I did have to, I had to focus a lot more on story, points I wanted to hit, and something, like descriptions and stuff that, a lot of stuff I wrote down and didn't really.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like
But I think that happens with any.
But
that's what happens with any GM, right? Where you have a plethora of notes, and then either the players. Take a left turn at Albuquerque and you're left going, well, now I've, all this stuff is out the window unless I can repurpose it.
D&D.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, and with D&D, it is a whole lot easier to set up a combat and know that a significant portion of your time is going to be involved in that, most likely, if it's a big fight. And
what was the surprising thing about for you setting up combats in this venture that we did?
I mean, a real hard part was just trying to find a good sweet spot for actually having it be a good challenge without being too difficult. And I mean, that's something I could regulate a lot more on the fly with the use of fate points and all that. I mean, that's just stuff in general that I feel like I need to get a stronger feel on. Well, and
for those of you, again, that have played Fate, what was something that is part of the Fate system that we didn't see in the games that we play beyond the you guys are sneaking past the deli.
Non-combat challenges is one of them.
Or basically non-combat challenges that are still statted up as a combat challenge.
Right. And actually vice versa, because you can also do it the other way around. Challenges that narratively are combats but are statted out like non-combat challenges. Like, there are 1,000 ninjas between you and the door, and it's a given that you can take out 5 ninjas per punch, so you're actually just narrating creatively how you're getting to the door.
Okay.
Sort of thing.
Yeah. Anything else that we didn't see that's part of the Fate system that listeners may want to know about?
I mean, we were largely just relying on the Fate Accelerated Edition.
Right.
However, mechanically, other than like a more refined skill list, there isn't a huge, not a lot differentiating the two. There's a whole bunch of optional stuff that you can put on or remove depending on stuff how you want to tool the campaign. And, I mean, you can always, you know, like add more crunch to the system. Which may add a bit more structure that like someone like Rob would be able to grab onto better. And
so, Matthew, this was the first time you and I had played Fate. What's your takeaway on this, or what is your kind of impression looking back?
I have a really positive impression of Fate because this is how I entered role-playing games in the 80s. Was I want to do X cool thing. How are we going to put that together? And I will say this. I would not want to play Fate with people that I don't know and trust. And I say that of all four of you, including Robert. So, you know, write it down. That's your one. This is the kind of system where you really have to trust each other's judgment, because if one of us, for instance, going into this game in Modern City, I think my conceptualization of the power level of a superhuman is considerably different than what Rob came in with. And I'm good with that because Batman and the Spectre work together all the time in the Golden Age. But yeah, when I came into Fate, I was, you know, I wasn't sure what to think of it, but it really feels like a very almost LARPy experience for me, in that you have things that definitely you can't do, things that you want to try to do, and things that you might get away with. A very positive experience for me. I really, really enjoyed this. I felt like it's a solid system. But again, I wouldn't want to play it with people that I didn't know were on the same level.
Yeah, every role-playing game that you play has to have that kind of unspoken consensus about what's in theme, and or maybe outright spoken. And I actually urge game masters to say it out loud, saying, this is what you're not going to find in this game. This is what you are going to find in this game. So that nobody goes in with the wrong idea. But in Fate, it's crucial. And because we did superheroes and we're all familiar with them,
and nobody
pitched the guy that was made of guns. Because you can't have that in superheroes.
Wait, I could have pitched a guy that was made of guns.
You could have. the idea of what superheroics was, you know, clear enough for all of us that we didn't have to worry too much about it. Especially with the system, it's like, you know, there are going to be groups that are going to be completely split on what a flashy action right? And where do you draw the line between flashy and forceful?
Yeah. Isn't that up to the GM, though, to make that decision?
It is, but if the GM goes, this is where the line is, and nobody around the table likes it, you can still get into a lot of issues.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, what were some things that really surprised you about this system, Matthew?
I think the biggest thing that surprised me was the ability to make decisions and conceptualize the character on the fly. Because when we came in, I knew basically who I was, and I had an idea of how I wanted to play it. But during that first fight with the zombie gators, I had just a thunderbolt in my head. And this is something that when you read a superhero book, you always have a super strong guy. And at that moment, I'm like, oh my God, do we have a super strong guy? And I said, okay, I'm now the super strong guy. How am I going to sell that to Brian? And that's the point where I was surprised, A, that the system and that Brian's gaming style was something to where I could go in and say, oh, well, I want to be the super strong guy. So I suck up all the ectoplasm of my car and now I'm super strong. And it works within the framework of that game.
Yeah.
I was really surprised by how adaptive it was and how well it worked, especially for a superhero type narrative where stuff like that happens all the time. Flash Thompson is now Venom.
And another like important thing is that in the end, you're just looking at stress boxes and aspects that you're putting on things, right?
Right.
So you do kind of want to create a character that's going to allow you to express that in a way that you're comfortable with. It's, you know, why I push the word superheroes, because it's like, that's going to give us a lexicon,
right?
That everybody can knows about, right? If we had done like Nord, detective type stuff,
right?
It would have been a serious exploration of how you do aspects. You know, it's like, oh, well, I give that guy the stink eye and I'm going to try to make him intimidated for the following scene or something like that, which is a lot smaller than creating a giant sinkhole in the middle of the room, but actually gives you the exact same bonus.
Right. Yep. And it saved us from Rob having to go, my shoes are made of gum? Rob, what did you not like, or what do you not like about the Fate system beyond the mechanics of the power-up?
That's my favorite thing in 4th edition is combat.
Yeah.
I am a very strategically oriented, the game board is kind of where I
live.
Do the most. It's where my playstyle comes out the most. So the lack of tactical combat just doesn't gel with combat style.
Was that because we didn't have a grid-based board we were looking at? Is that why?
That's part of it. This is a game style. Fate is kind of a game style that's not built for what I really enjoy most of the time.
Right.
I'm never going to say it's bad. I actually really like Fate.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of parts of Fate that are not how I play games.
Mm-hmm. Just not his preference.
Yeah.
Not optimized to your game preference.
Yeah. What did you not like about, or do not like about the Fate system, or the accelerated system that we worked with?
Well, there isn't much I don't like. I think, honestly, because everything is so loose, I think sometimes I will read something in the book and say, oh, so this is kind of how this works.
Right.
And if the consensus of the table or the game master is like, no, that's not how it works, there's kind of no definitive, because Wizards of the Coast will tell you how a power is supposed to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But in Fate, it's just like, if people are like, nah, that doesn't sound right.
Right.
Then that's it.
Yeah.
I think that's part of
the gameplay. As Matthew said, the nice part is that you're able to adapt your character on the fly. Mm-hmm. But I think the other thing that's really crucial is knowing when to stop, right? Suddenly I grow to 50 stories tall and my fish smashes them down because I'm a ghost and I can do those things. You know, that's that may be too much to do.
I would never go 50 stories.
But I mean, you got to. I think as a player and everybody else on the table, they have to know what should be the limits of the world that you've collectively created, and not go too far outside of that.
And I mean, if I wasn't thinking of going into this and seeing what game you guys wanted to do, went into this knowing we wanted to do supers, I probably would have looked at. There's a couple super systems that uses the Fate system that I could have certainly looked at and said, okay, this is how we do it. This is how you define powers within this system. And
interesting. So I didn't know that. So there are systems. I mean, we've talked before about the Atomic Robo, but I thought that was just like, here's all your flavor text.
The Atomic Robo has its own kind of weird conflict resolution mechanics.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There are
a lot of supplemental
systems for Fate that just give you here's some rule sets to use when doing this genre.
Yeah.
The first one we played was Spirit of the Century.
Yes. Yeah.
Which sets everybody up as
a spirit of the century from planetary.
Interesting.
There's Dresden Files, and it has a very detailed system on supernatural characters your character can be and different supernatural abilities they can and a magic system. And Atomic Robo has this very effect based skill system where basically you have to, when you define a skill, if you don't go with one of our pre-made ones, you have to explicitly say which effects that skill does.
Yeah.
Right.
So you got to pick, I mean, this version of the Fate system that we were going with. In fact, I think you're the one that came up with playing Fate, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Is that your idea? So, the question of what do you not like about Fate may be, well, there's nothing I don't like about it because we played it and it was my choice.
I don't know. I mean, it can be, it is, especially Fate Accelerate Edition, just using that very basic structure does leave it pretty loose, pretty wide. I mean, it depends on if we do start this up again, if I can find a way to do it pretty seamlessly, I might go for more structured iteration of Fate.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe
but
not.
But the rules aren't that different,
that
are they?
That wouldn't be
I mean,
hard.
The rules aren't that different, are they? From the accelerated edition to the others, it just gives you a few more
like the biggest
things that you can put in place.
Like hurdle would be the fact that instead of going from these approaches, you are going to a skill list where you have like brawl and shoot.
Oh, okay.
And,
technology.
Oh, I see.
Stuff like that.
Okay. All right. Matthew, what about you? What was something or things that you didn't like about this?
Oh, I don't know that I didn't like much of nothing, however that double negative went. I think that the plus of the game is also the minus in that in some ways you're running without a net.
Yeah.
Get it?
Yep.
You're running without a net, which means that you can be wildly creative and you can do things that you wouldn't get away with in other systems.
That's a big plus. But also it's a big minus as because, again, if the other people at the table aren't going to agree with whatever you're creating or whatever world building you're doing, it just falls apart very quickly.
I mean, it would have been kind of perfectly reasonable for anybody at the table to be like, okay, so exactly how many dozens of powers does Jetstar have? And we were all like, well, he's a ghost. He's a, you know, car ghost.
Sure.
Yes, like, it all fits within it, but... Yeah, I mean, you could definitely sit down at a table and be like, hey, guys, I'm going to play this car ghost. And everybody's like, that's not something a car ghost would do. Or, like, that's too powerful. Or, like, that's too much.
Yeah.
It's like, I just, like, with my character, I walked in and I was like, yeah, my character has earthquake powers and also, like, super strength and super toughness or whatever, which you get in superhero games. Yeah, but it's like, it's more than just, like, it's like Rob walked in with one power.
Yes. Yeah, I think it was a fine. I thought I like Free Agent a lot.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see him again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, I think there are ways that like Rob and Brian could have talked it out to make Free Agent A more effective and B more tactical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I actually ended up being probably the most tactical player because I went in looking at the way that aspects work, and I was creating at least one aspect per fight,
right,
trying to basically push that end of the system to make things easier for everyone.
Mm-hmm,
so true. Two games in a row, I'm the bard.
Every time I tried to make an aspect, I failed.
Yeah,
my rolls were never high enough. One of my stunts
was specifically geared towards making aspects, so you kind of have to gear your character that way.
I really enjoyed this system more than I thought I would. And I was very nervous going into this system because I didn't know anything about it. As I said, the day before we started playing, I was contacting Brian going, are we supposed to have had characters created or anything like that? And the idea was, nope, just we're going to do it in game. And I was just like, okay.
And that's a big part of what I like about this system is the whole group creation mechanic.
That's actually my favorite part of
Fate.
Like I would be 100% happy with playing a brand new Fate game every time we sat down to play.
Just for the character creation.
Yeah. Like do two sessions of a system or do two sessions of a game. Character creation, first session, we're done. Next game.
Well, if you consider how bad we tend to be at actually sticking with games, that's basically the Fate experience you've had.
Yeah, it is. But
Well, I don't know if there... I guess the only thing that I didn't like kind of a little bit goes back into Rob's and my questions before about how do characters level up and those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And then the questions about, well, how do you decide how many monsters to have in this fight?
Yeah.
Because, you know, coming from 4E, it's like, well, here's this mathematical formula that you run, and then based on that, here's what you should be looking at combinations of these things. And here it's like, okay, robot men and undead gators and a dude with a helmet on his head.
But that's kind of the important thing that maybe Fate makes you look at is that, you know, the guys who wrote up D&D 4th edition playtested that and were basically like, okay, what is a challenging fight? What is an exciting fight?
Right.
And then they built a system around that. And Fate just doesn't necessarily do that for you, although they do have suggestions in the book.
Yeah.
But it is kind of something that you have to play at and decide. And fortunately, when you do figure it out, the monsters are approximately 1,000 times easier to run.
Oh, yeah. What else should we know about this system for people wanting to play?
I would say a big thing is, hey, it is available for pay what you want. And if you want, zero is an acceptable value. Check it out. See if you like it. If you do really like it, perhaps send some money Evil Hat's way. It's, if nothing else, I mean, it's can be fun. Sit down as a group just to make a setting. And
I would be really interested. I'd be really interested to see if my thought about the system was the same playing it in a different world.
Yeah,
you know, if it were not superheroes,
and
we had talked about that early on. If we had done Space Marines, or if we'd done Old West or Noir or something like that, would the experience have been as good?
I think so. The only thing like blocking your experience of it is kind of reconciling the system with the narration, right? And that's fairly easy after a while. You do kind of have to like step in there and
right.
figure things out, but it's not that big of a problem.
I don't think we could have picked a better genre for this group.
Yeah, for this group, definitely.
There's no way that we can... I don't feel that there's a way that we could have beat superheroes with us.
Yeah.
That's where we all... That's where most of us come from to start with, so...
Right. Yeah, no, I really enjoyed this. I thought this was a heck of a lot of fun. Are you guys up for playing more of this in the future? Should we hit our funding goal? Brian, yeah, you've already got it all planned out, Rodrigo. And
sure. I have ideas.
Cool. All right. Well, I think we're going to have a shorter episode. Matthew, somehow our entire internet connection has just gone down.
Yeah.
I think we'll just wrap it up there. We'll have a shorter session this week. I really hope you guys enjoyed Modern City. And like I said, if you'd like to see more of this, we just need some more VIP members. And you can sign up at members.majorspoilers.com. Something as little as $2 a month. I don't even know what costs as little as $2 a month.
It's a good question.
I mean, for less than
a
the
subscription
cost...
to a single comic book.
No, because most even. Comic books are $4.99, $3.99, $2.99. I mean, for less than the cost of a pizza a month, you could fund us a $10 level, and you get access to all sorts of stuff, like all of the character sheets for Critical Hit and for the Fate system for Modern City. You get access to behind-the-scenes content, bonus podcasts. Speaking of bonus podcasts, as we're prepping for the next season of Critical Hit, if you want to see how Orym's character has leveled up to 16, for VIP members, there is a bonus, very lengthy session where Rodrigo and I just go in and build up that character. And then also you'll be able to see the character sheets there as well as the season progresses. So there's some good reasons to do that. And the biggest reason to support us is it allows us to continue to do shows just like Critical Hit or just like the Major Spoilers podcast or Top 5. A lot of people like that and so many, many, many more. So thank you so much, everybody. And we will be back next week. We got mailbag next week because we've got a lot of them built up and we've got a lot of questions that have come our way. So until then, keep rolling those dice.
Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.